sometimes I'll go to see a play and I'll sit there going, gosh, this feels like a short story, not a piece of theater. And I had that feeling seeing your production of Primary Trust by Ebony Booth, but I wasn't upset about it for the first time. And I don't know why that is. So I'm dying to ask you, Malkia Stampley, the director of this fantastic production, how did you do that? How did you take a play that feels literary and page bound and make it so lively and theatrical and fun and great?
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 933, directing Primary Trust. Ebony Booth's 2024 Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Primary Trust, can be seen for the next 2 weeks in a beautiful production at Chicago's Goodman Theater, directed by my guest, Malkia Stampley. Malkia directs an extraordinary cast, led by Nimir Smallwood, who really longtime listeners might remember me talking to back in 2015 when we were both in the backroom Shakespeare Project production of The Merchant of Venice. And Malkia was good enough to talk to me about how she discovered and also enhanced the theatricality that was already in Ebony Booth's script.
I agree with you that it could be a piece of literature that you read and I think very much enjoy. But what I was fascinated with was if you read the script, there are a lot of fragmented scenes and dialogue where the audience might feel like the actor is stumbling over words. It was written that way, lots of dashes and cutoffs and pauses in the middle of a thought. And that, when I see that, I go, that's a writer who knows what it is to be an actor, and they're trying to really evoke something. And I feel like that just needs to be seen on stage, one. And then the moments in the script, there's these asterisks that she calls passages of time. And then that's all she says. This is it. Passages of time. That's how she explains it at the beginning in the, on the title page. So you go, what does that mean? And some pages have five of them in a row, just stacked under each other. And then others will write out moment. And so then we have these invitations to do, to fill up those spaces. And I go, you can't do that just on the page. I wanted the audience to, I've been calling it lately, suffering alongside the central character, Kenneth, as he is searching for what to say, how to feel, and maybe getting something out. I wanted the feeling of, oh my gosh, I need to go up there and help him. Or, this is a little bit uncomfortable because I just feel for him. I go, that needs a live audience and a collective feeling, and that's what a play can do.
Well, and I was there on opening night, which had a particularly vocally demonstrative audience that was so on that same page that you're talking about with Kenneth, the protagonist. So we were also invested in his journey. You talked about a playwright with an understanding of what actors bring to a thing, and your list of credits just talk so many shows that you've not only directed but produced. Were you an actor as well at one point? I know you're married to one.
Yes, I am. I am an actor, and I started off as one in high school and went to college for it, and my last on-stage production was in 2019, and where I felt like I fully then immersed myself in producing and directing. But yes, I started off as an actor for sure.
Well, because those elliptical sentence fragments that you talk about, you could hear them. I could see them on the page watching the actors. inhabit them, but the that was what made me think, oh, this is being directed by an actor, because the actors so inhabited those fragments, and they didn't sound like words on a page. They sounded like the way people talk, and that tells me that the actors had an enormous had enormous trust in you, and that trust in you, and that you had given them the freedom, the permission to really explore that uncertainty.
Oh, absolutely. And that was the playground of rehearsal. It was, and that was really looking at those asterisks that I talked about. Okay, today, let's have it mean 5 years ago. So when we jump from one sentence to the next, and then an asterisk is in between, how would Kenneth have said that 5 years ago?
Yeah.
If he was in that same spot? Or let's take a breath and let's completely change places where we are. It became this playground. And then then from there, we started to chip away and go, okay, that didn't work. Or let's try that. And in the first 20 minutes, I'd say, or maybe 17 minutes of the play, it is this fragmented treasure chest of memory. That, and the play is a memory play in that way. And so that alone, it was difficult, but very fun, because I was working with masters in their craft.
Well, you really were, and I want to talk about a couple of those masters in a bit. And this was one of the other things that I loved about the piece. It was its gentleness. It didn't have a lot of unnecessary melodrama where it could have, with a leading character like Kenneth, who's, I'm saying it clumsily, but is probably on the spectrum. And he could encounter so many horrible people and obstacles, but that's not what happens in this play. And was that a thing you embraced in the script, or was that a thing you had to kind of fight against? Were you looking for more quote unquote drama?
Oh, that's such a great question. I don't think I was looking for the drama. I was looking for the light.
Yeah.
Where I did feel like it is an intimate, delicate piece. Yeah. And I feel like Eeyore. Kenneth.
there are no mistakes, as the Buddha says.
Kenneth is going through what he goes through in the piece. It was important for me that each of his neighbors or his friends or those we meet in the play are lights, are beams of light who come into what can sometimes feel like a dark world for Kenneth. And so we started to call it an upswing. Every entrance is an upswing. And so, yes, it is quiet, and it can still be delicate, but everyone is uplifting. So that buoyancy, we had to keep it light in that way. Light as in the source of the sun, light, but also in weight. And I think we accomplished some of that.
Hi, this is Cynthia Ryder, Managing Director of the Hartford Stage Company, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSE the RSE? We'll give one more performance of our special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged on November 2nd in Greeley, Colorado. Then we'll perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged from December 9th through 11th at the South Padre Island Convention Center in Texas. And next March of 2025, we'll return to the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts for the 3-week Lord premiere of The Comedy of Hamlet, a prequel. Check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Malkia Stampley, talking about her wonderful production of Primary Trust, now playing at Chicago's Goodman Theater through November 3rd, 2024. Let's talk about your actors, because they were spectacular, three of whom were unknown to me prior to this production. And I've seen Namir multiple times before and briefly shared a stage with him in the backroom Shakespeare production of The Merchant of Venice, where he was the Prince of Morocco and I was the Prince of Aragon. It was fun to see him in this role. Because he tends to play, I don't know his entire oeuvre, but he tends to play intense characters. And this guy, his Kenneth, had a lightness and a searching quality that was, for want of a better word, adorable. And I don't think of Namir as adorable, but by God, he was.
That is so funny to me. And I say that because I've heard about Namir for sure. And I got to experience him in a few different pieces. And I saw in him someone who was egoless, someone who is a gentle being. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever met anyone like him, like the person that is Namir. And so then when we were thinking about who could play Kenneth, because he, I feel, leaves an impression. And there is, so yes, I agree to the intensity, but there's a mystery about him.
Yeah.
And a curiosity that he has that I was craving it. I was so craving it. And I do feel that, you know, on the other side of the intensity and, I don't know, that buoyancy or that lightness, I feel like sometimes there can be two sides of the same coin. And I felt that Kenneth could be intense and could be destructive and could be all of those things. And we didn't want to ever take that away, because our most vulnerable in our society are capable of that if they don't have the help, love, and support that they need. Yeah. So that I think was always, you know, simmering underneath, but it didn't have to be that way. And Ebony gave us the an opportunity to see what else could happen.
And it's part of the mystery of the character is what he's capable of, what he thinks he's presenting to the world, and what he's actually presenting to the world. And it takes him a long time to figure that out, just as it takes the audience a while to figure that out. So in that sense, you know, Namir and y'all, you know, captured that beautifully. It feels like, all the cast is great, and Fred's having enormous fun in his roles. But Christiana Clark is like, when did you let her off the leash? How much free rein did she have, and how much fun is she having?
Oh my goodness, you know. This play, because the play can read delicate, that I think it's easy to think it needs to be very naturalistic and you need to find the depth in all these characters and all of them. And sure. We just wanted to make it be a playground for these characters that we didn't get a lot of background on, which were all of the small characters that Christiana played. And we talked. She had some ideas. She named all of them. They all had backstories. And I said, okay. And I let her go. And so there was never any holding on to her. I just didn't realize how phenomenal she is. Mm-hmm. And even in all of her greatness, she was still able to be a light and stay and keep it buoyant, keep it moving, not milking too much. Like, she just was able to still have her characters support the story rather than just having fun with those characters. It helped serve the story that we needed for Kenneth.
Right.
So,
and she's,
I love her.
And she's driving the story for much of it, even though she's not the quote-unquote protagonist. And what you said about her being the potential for that character, for the entire play to be trapped in a naturalistic environment, you know, with Christiana's characters, it lifts it, getting back to our original point, it lifts the play into a theatrical realm and keeps it from being page bound, you know? So I can imagine a quieter, softer, less interesting production. And I'm so grateful that your production wasn't that.
And I thank you for that. And I do feel that in doing that, we would be melted on the floor. Like we need a moment to breathe in order to follow his story, because life is funny and life is sad, sometimes all in the same moment. Yeah. And the, a lot of in between. So I didn't want to get trapped in just the drama. I want to have fun with the authenticity. I wanted to have fun with the truth. And because of that, I felt like all the laughs were real laughter. It was real moments of release, which then allowed for real moments of release when maybe you were experiencing another big emotion.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. Malkia Stampley's lovely production of Primary Trust runs at Chicago's Goodman Theater for two more weeks through November 3rd, 2024. Go to goodmantheater.org for more information. Then send us your celebrations of friendship via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareance.com. Thanks, as always, to imaginary friend Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Kevin Paul Wickart. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Cynthia Ryder, managing director of the Hartford Stage Company. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 933 2799ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Yes, that release, that play of emotions, that contrast of emotions also speaks to that thing you were talking about with Amir. Yes, he has an intensity, but he also has a lightness, as does the character. And this idea that serious actors can find the funny and clowns can find the gravitas, you know, I live by that.
Yes, I love that. I love it.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.